Thanks for listening to the Mornings with Carmen LaBurge podcast, made available thanks to support from listeners just like you.
Your daily encouragement that God has the world in the hollow of his hand. This is Mornings with Carmen LaBurge on Faith Radio.
If we're gonna fly, we fly like eagles. Arms out wide. If we're gonna fear, we fear no evil. We will rise. By your power, we will go. By your spirit, we are bold. If we're gonna stand, we stand as giants. If we're gonna walk, we walk as lions.
Hey, 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 it's Friday. Okay, so yes, we need some cleanup on aisle four. So there is a sweet listener on the text line right now. So good morning to each and every person out there. If you are also on the text line at 877-933-2484 asking me about the program schedule for Faith Radio, like who's on when, you can find that at myfaithradio.com. Just click on programs. But here you go, because I am here for you. Right after Mornings with Carmen, which is from 6 to 8 a.m. Central, you can listen to Colin Smith with Open the Bible. Right after Colin Smith, you can listen to Chuck Swindoll, Insight for Living. And right after Chuck Swindoll, you can hear Turning Point with David Jeremiah. And so, it might have been that you were listening to Turning Point with David Jeremiah if you think that what you heard yesterday was in the 9 o'clock hour. The second half of the 9 o'clock hour, Central Time, is Focus on the Family with Jim Daly. And all of that, and then the links to all of those programs and podcasts, all of it is available at myfaithradio.com or on the Faith Radio app. So there you go. That's that was going to take me a long time to type, and so there you go. If you're on the text line and that's the info you're looking for, now you have it. Yesterday, again, on the text line, Lindsay from Ennis, Texas, you will remember this if you were here yesterday. Lindsay asked us to be praying for her church. Ennis, Texas happens to be one of those places that is in the path, right? Directly in the path of the eclipse totality. Yes. So that's going to happen on Monday, the eclipse. We'll talk more about it on Monday. But it's happening. People are making plans. If you live in the, you know, the pathway of totality, your town, your church, everybody's probably already preparing. I love the spirit of Lindsay's prayer that she asked us to pray with her. So just as a reminder, she said, the church is calling to now I'm scrolling back. This was Thursday morning. My church is in downtown Ennis, Texas. We have about 200,000 people. We anticipate flooding into our area because we are the place where the eclipse is supposed to actually last the longest. So she'd been talking with her church about a revival, and they were making a decision yesterday about something that they might do. So we exchanged some text messages about some ideas, and this is the text from Lindsay this morning. She says, my church said yes to the revival on Monday, which, you know what, praise be to God, right? Praise be to God. That is awesome. I love it when churches say yes, right, and embrace opportunities. She said, we're not sure what it's going to look like. We've never done anything like this before. Well, praise Jesus, like, right? God is obviously on the move, and you're joining him, and that is awesome. She says, we're trusting God to guide us. I am confident that lost souls looking to the sky for a miracle will come to Christ, will come to find Christ. Well, amen, amen, and amen. She says, please pray that the city allows us to bring out our baptism setup onto the square. Our pastor is asking today. So we are going to pray that God would have favor upon that request. And then she says, this is a time for people to repent and be baptized. I feel it in my bones. Lindsay's going to be in downtown Ennis passing out snacks with Bible verses on them, sharing Jesus with anybody who is willing to listen. And so let their ears hear and their eyes see that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. And thank you for your support from Faith Radio. Lindsay, we are with you and we are for you. So wherever you are right now, if you're driving, don't close your eyes. God gets open-eyed prayer. You don't actually have to close your eyes for God to hear you. It doesn't work that way. So keep your eyes open if you're driving, but let's pray. God, you are so good. From the first to the last, you are God. From the furthest lengths of creation, which are ever expanding, you are God. To right here with us right now in this moment, as believers, you are God. And so we thank you that the sun is always shining. Even on days that feel really dark, or hours that feel really dark, or nights that feel really dark, and even in the dark night of the soul, we thank you for the light of Christ. We thank you that he is the light of the world, and we thank you that by the power of his Spirit, we are the light of the world. I thank you for the way you have illuminated Lindsay and this congregation in Ennis, Texas, to give them a heart for revival. And God, we thank you in advance for the way that the glory of the gospel is going to shine forth on Monday in Ennis, Texas. People are gathering there. You are bringing people to Ennis, Texas, where you have prepared your people to share with them the good news of the light and the love of Christ. That is amazing. That is amazing. It's like a reverse mission trip, God. Instead of sending the people of Ennis out into the world, you're bringing the people of the world to Ennis, Texas. That's pretty incredible. And we acknowledge and honor that. And so, God, we want you to be glorified. Get your glory. Get your glory. Give favor today upon the request that they'd be able to bring their baptism set up out into the town, where people who come to faith can then respond by being baptized. Father, every single day is a day of the Lord and a day of salvation. And we are believing with Lindsay that Monday is going to be a day of salvation, a day of awakening, a day of revival for people who thought they were coming looking up to the sky for something miraculous, when the real miracle is the one who is the light of the world. Let your light so shine, Father, through your servants in Ennis, Texas, and everywhere in this pathway of totality, where people are going to gather and looking for cosmic things. Let them instead find eternal things. You are the God of all creation, and you are the God of the eclipse. And so, Father, eclipse everything else on Monday with the light of your saving love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Isn't it fun to be in ministry together? Isn't it fun to be in ministry with the Christians in Ennis, Texas, who are preparing now? There are churches actually all up and down this pathway of totality. There are churches all across America. All across North America, really, preparing for the people who are coming to see great things. And we serve a great God, and we're just going to ask that he's going to be revealed in the midst of all of it. We'll talk more about that on Monday. Next up, Adam Holtz is joining us. We're going to talk with Adam about, the same question we've been asking everybody. What does it mean to be Easter people? So what? You know, Easter came and Easter went. It's now the following Friday. The bunnies are put away. You know, the peeps are stored or gobbled up. So, you know, so what? What's the so what of Easter? That's up next here on Mornings with Carmen. Yep, that's the music. Adam Holtz is here from Focus on the Family's Plugged In. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, Carmen. How are you?
I like this little tagline. Well, I am well. Let me answer your question first. I like your little tagline. Plugged in. Shining a light in the world of popular entertainment while giving families the essential tools they need to understand, navigate, and impact the culture in which they live. That's pretty good, man. Did you write that?
Well, thank you. I tweaked
it. You should just take credit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I wrote that.
Well done.
I wrote
Easter.
The second half of it.
Paul Perot just confessed a minute ago to me that he still has a portion of his chocolate Easter bunny.
You gotta take it measured, you know. You can't take it all at once. It's just too much.
I, Is it solid chocolate? It must be. Because
actually, no,
chocolate
it was a hollow one, but there was still plenty to it.
Yeah, there's no chocolate bunny left at my house.
So I have probably mentioned my wife is on staff at a church, a large church here in Colorado Springs. And so Easter weekend is one of the most weirdly stressful weekends of our year. And we got to somewhere on Sunday afternoon, and one of my children realized that the Easter Bunny apparently boycotted us this year. And so we're like, well, just gonna have to go double or nothing next year, I guess. So we did not buy a single Easter egg. There is no chocolate. There was not time. The bigger story is that my middle daughter was very, very sick this weekend. And I sat with her for about 12 or 13 hours on Easter Sunday as she just whimpered because her fever got up as high, almost as 105 at one point. She was miserable. And at that point, we actually went to the hospital. And of course, they told us it was a virus and drink lots of liquids. And it was not very helpful. But I think that there is something about actually sitting with somebody in a temporary form of suffering. She's been getting better this week. That gives perspective, right? Because Jesus, he came to be with us. He was Emmanuel, right? God with us. And he came to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. And I spent the entire day getting my daughter drinks of water, getting her, frankly, a little bowl because she was sick to her stomach, and cleaning that up. Let me also say, I'm making myself sound like I'm like the best father in the world. I was actually pretty grumpy about it for a good chunk of the day. I'm like, this is not how I want to spend my Easter Sunday. But I was with my daughter. And I think as Christians, when we're faced with moments of suffering, of disappointment, it is an opportunity to sort of recalibrate and to remember what it's all about. And so actually, by the end of the day, I had settled into a place of deep, I don't know, contentment's the wrong word, but just it's like, you know what? Today, I am absolutely called to just serve my daughter, and what a privilege. And I think there's some Easter in that somewhere.
Yeah, I think there's some Easter in that. The father serving the need of the child or the children. Amen. Amen. Actor Alan Ritchson talking about radical generosity and the victory of Jesus.
Yes.
First of all, who is Alan Ritchson?
Alan Ritchson is a guy. He is probably best known for his current role in Reacher.
How does a guy get that big? That's really my question.
No,
like, that is a big guy.
He is a large, large man. There is no doubt. No doubt about that. And he, over the last couple of years, has been pretty outspoken about his faith. And so he got on and did like a 6 or 7 minute video on YouTube talking about his kids getting Easter eggs, doing an Easter egg hunt. One of them, wasn't getting as many as the other. And so one of the other children donated some of the eggs and later found out the eggs had money in them and realized, oh, this was really a sacrificial thing that I did. And then he goes on to just talk about the Easter eggs of life, right? And that we can become cynical, we can become bitter. And it's in those moments, that we really realize that we're in desperate need of a savior. He says it starts to look more like real life. We can start to feel disenfranchised or cynical when it feels like the game is poisoned or broken beyond repair. And then we start to crave a savior of some time. We're wicked and broken people, and we need a savior. So I appreciate, as much as we sometimes, talk about the idea that Hollywood is antithetically opposed to everything that we believe as Christians, and sometimes that's true. I'm glad there are people who are still very much in the heart of that world that are communicating the essence of the gospel, which is that we're broken, we're sinful, and we're desperately in need of a savior. And he goes on to talk about that as well.
I love the way that we're highlighting how people are taking advantage of every opportunity to share their faith. And so let me just ask you, as you're listening, how are you taking advantage of every opportunity to share the good news of the gospel with somebody else? Like, that's what it means to be Easter people, that we would go forth from the empty tomb declaring the resurrection and the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. So how are you doing that in your own life? What's the glory story you have to tell? Where's the opportunity that you know is before you? And how are you going to make the most of that opportunity? That's what Lindsay and the church that she's a part of in Ennis, Texas, that's what they're doing. They're looking for this opportunity, and then they're saying to themselves, how can we join God in what he's doing in our community during the eclipse on Monday? So making the most of every opportunity. How can you do that? How are you doing that in your own life? If you want some ideas or some help, you can always hit me up on the text line, 877-933-2484. We're going to continue our conversation with our friend Adam Holtz here in just a moment from Focus on the Family's Plugged In. And yes, 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 I am going to ask him to give us a quick review of Someone Like You. That's up next. You're on Mornings with Carmen. Ann texted me, and then we had a conversation on the phone. She's 86 years old, and her husband, Bob, is 96. She listens to the podcast every single day, and she gets a lot of encouragement for her walk of faith in the midst of a life that has grown difficult and weary in many ways. Ann has a Faith Radio story, and so do you. If Faith Radio is a part of your daily journey with God, we'd love to hear your story. Share how God is using Faith Radio to encourage you and help you grow at myfaithradio.com. And who knows, maybe Ann will hear your story and be encouraged as well. All righty. Someone Like You. That is one of the movies that's currently up on the review list at pluggedin.com. Gets us thinking about the topic of who we're like and why we're liked. Adam Holtz is here from Focus on the Family's Plugged In. What is Someone Like You?
Well, for starters, Someone Like You is a movie adaptation of one of novelist Karen Kingsbury's popular stories. And if you know anything about Christian fiction, Karen Kingsbury is, she is one of the big players in that scene. I had a chance to talk to her a couple of weeks ago, and you can actually hear that interview on our podcast, thepluggedinshow.com. And I did a little research on her. She's written 98 books.
Which is crazy to think.
It's crazy. And this is just a side note. I asked her how long it takes her to write a book. And she says once she has the basic idea and kind of has it plotted out in her head, it takes her about 2 weeks. I'm like, holy cow, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. But I digress. Someone Like You is one of her novels. It's a romance story. And I would say if you have ever seen a Hallmark movie or a movie on Great American Family, it's in that general genre, but I would say it pushes several notches deeper than those movies typically go. So this is a story of a guy named Dawson Gage. He's a, I don't know, late 20-something guy. He's been friends with and in love with his best friend, London Quinn, for their whole lives. Dawson's parents died when he was very young, and London's family didn't quite adopt him, but almost in that neck of the woods. And, of course, London is semi-clueless about Dawson's affection for her, but she's warming up to the idea, and it looks like Dawson's on the verge of happily ever after with London. And then, unfortunately, she gets hit by a truck and dies. And if that sounds like a spoiler warning, that's about the first 5 minutes of the movie. So that's the setup for the story. Dawson is grieving with London's parents, and they happen to mention that she was an in vitro baby and that there were actually two fertilized embryos, and they donated the other one. And so sort of in the process of trying to get closure on his grief, Dawson becomes determined to find out what happened to the other embryo, And wouldn't you know it, it's a young woman named Andy who looks a whole lot like London. And he's drawn to her because of that, and then falls in love with her because of who she is, not because of who she reminds him of. So there's some melodrama here, as you can probably imagine. I think if you like this kind of movie, you're going to want your Kleenex close by, because there are a couple weeper moments, and it really delves into faith, into family, into forgiveness. Man, 3 points and alliteration. I should have been a Baptist preacher right there. But Andy, when she finds out that she was an embryo that was adopted, her parents have never actually had the courage to tell her that. And it causes a deep, deep estrangement from the family that raised her. And so that really, in some ways, the core conflict is her resolving that thing that has happened. So other than the allusion to London getting hit by a car early on, there's not much content here at all. It's a PG movie. Almost anybody could watch it. And I had someone take me to task for revealing that. I'm like, well, if you see the trailer, it's in about the first 15 seconds of the trailer. So there you go.
We don't have time today to really like dig into the new book, Becoming a Screen Savvy Family. But let's plan to do that in a number of conversations over the course
Absolutely.
Of time, or have you on just for a dedicated conversation about that. But it is the subject matter of a recent episode of your podcast and your blog. So maybe just brief us in, like, how do the different forms of entertainment influence us?
Well, we often toss around this term screen time as if the ways that we interact with technology and entertainment are all exactly the same. But the reality is we interact with different forms of entertainment in radically different ways. If we're listening to music, we're getting, you know, repeated doses, maybe thousands of doses of a message that we connect with at a deep and personal level. If we're playing a video game, we're actively engaged in a story for maybe 50 or 100 hours or more. If we're watching a movie, that's different than watching a TV show that goes for multiple seasons and many hours. And so we just spent some time unpacking, you know, the fact that not all screen time, not all entertainment interaction is created equal or affects us equally in the same ways.
Do you have one that you're like, this is the one to pay most attention to in terms of its influence on our kids?
Well, ironically, and I say ironically because nobody talks about this anymore, I am still going to say music. And I know that right now we're sort of in a semi-moral panic over TikTok and over short-form video. And there's lots to be said about that. But even in my own family, I think that music is maybe the most personal, because we identify with musicians and we identify with their messages. And then, as I mentioned, we put them on repeat. You know, my daughter came home at the end of the year last year, and Spotify will send out a list of what you listen to the most. And she was disappointed that she hadn't listened to Taylor Swift as many times as her best friend, because her best friend listened to her favorite song 8,000 times last year, right? So you want to talk about a message that gets repeated over and over and over again. I still think pound for pound music, if you have kids that are really wired that way, may be more influential than any other medium.
We're talking with Adam Holtz from Focus on the Family's Plugged In. If you're looking for the book that we're talking about, Becoming a Screen Savvy Family, you can find it and a podcast related to it and a blog related to it at pluggedin.com. Adam, we always run out of time, and that makes me a little bit sad. I know, but there's a really great blog posted right now on de-influencing.
Yes.
And so check that out. Get that on your radar, literally called on the radar. Thank you for that as well. We appreciate you, brother.
You bet. Thanks, Carmen.
Yeah, such a pleasure. All right. Yes. Thank you for all of you on the text line who are totally excited about the church in Ennis, Texas, and all they have planned. I have now checked out the church in Ennis, Texas. It is called The Road, for those of you asking, and you can find them on Facebook and YouTube. Yes, very excited about all of that. It's fun to be in ministry together, isn't it? Yeah, praying for each other. Bradley says, hey, I missed who you and Adam were actually talking about. You were talking about this really big guy who's an actor. Yes. So he plays Reacher. That's how I would find him as recognizable. His name is Alan Richson. And I can send you the link to the article that I read that has then all the links to it, you know, for YouTube and the things where he is talking about his faith and encouraging people to be generous to one another in the spirit of Jesus. And so, yeah, really, really good stuff. We were talking about Alan Richson, and I might have interrupted Alan when he said he is primarily known for his role on Reacher. So I apologize for that. Thank you for all of the engagement on the text line this morning. You can check in as well, 877-933-2484. That's where Mary is checking in. She wants us all to be reminded that Ramadan is coming to an end this weekend. This is a really prime opportunity to be praying for Muslims in our community, that Jesus would reveal himself to them. Maybe he would even choose to reveal himself in dreams. There are opportunities to be praying for our Muslim neighbors to come to know Jesus. What a gift that would be, not only to them, but to the rest of us as well, as the community of faith continues to grow. Talking about growth and how things grow, the Friday Farm Report is up next. Dun, dun, dun! You're listening to Mornings with Carmen. All righty, it is time for the Friday Farm Report. You are listening to Mornings with Carmen. I'm Carmen LaVerge. This is Faith Radio. What is happening? What is happening where you are in terms of, you know, soil temperature, readiness for planting? Those of you who got that that really fun early April snow, yeah, I know you're not really quite ready for the level of farm reporting that I'm going to be offering you from my part of the world. So I realize that. I realize that there are those who are not quite yet at the point in the spring where I happen to already be. So like, I get that, but thank you. And thank you for sharing where you are and what's happening where you are. Mike clearly wants a report on the chickens. And so, yes, we will get to that in just a moment. Here is the list of things on the Friday Farm Report, in order, as I expect to take them: pruning trees and preparing grapevines, retilling the garden and preparing to plant. We need to transplant the things from the greenhouse into the garden. There's a whole conversation here about chickens and eggs that needs to be had. It is time to clean out the gutters and, quote unquote, wash the house, which, for those of you who don't live in areas of the country prone to mold, even over the winter, this is a new thought and idea for you. There is the praying by name for my neighbors and finding ways to care for them. And then, in the spirit of never a dull moment, the blades on the lawnmower need to be sharpened. So, I am going to reflect very briefly and quickly on each one of these today. So it is time for pruning trees and preparing grapevines. And Jim has been in the orchard pruning trees now and preparing the grapevines for the last week or so, which always leads me to consider the teaching of Jesus about the vine and the branches in John chapter 15, and what the vine dresser is busy doing and what he does with branches that are unproductive, and how he prunes in order to make the vine more productive. That's what's happening, by the way, in the pruning of the vines and the trees in our orchard. And then there's also this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 that talks about not just reaping what you sow, but reaping a harvest of what is sown. And so, what are you sowing? And how generously are you sowing? This is a conversation about giving to ministries as well. And so this is April, and that means this is spring fundraising month here at Faith Radio. We're going to actually have a week-long well, not week long. I don't know. We'd only do it for a handful of days, but feels like it's like Monday to Thursday in a couple of weeks. We're going to have our spring fundraiser here at Faith Radio. So let me just invite you to begin considering now. What are you going to sow back into this ministry? How has this ministry blessed you? What is the harvest of righteousness God is cultivating in your life through the way that this ministry is sowing into you? And what might you sow back into this ministry that we might have a further harvest of righteousness in the lives of others to the glory of God? You and I are like reaping what we sow. And so let's be sowing into kingdom advancing ministries right now that God might be getting more and more glory, right? All right, second point on my list of the Friday Farm Report is retilling the garden. So the garden, you know, had its like initial tilling, but it needs to be tilled again. And yeah, so we don't do no-till. I mean, I know there's like people that do like no-till planting and gardening now. We still till our small garden, our vegetable garden, and because we like to turn things into it, like, I don't know, cow manure and, you know, other stuff. So tilling the garden is part of that and preparing to plant, getting ready to plant. So there's been some discussion this year about could the rows in the garden be slightly further apart? I find it not very inviting to be in the garden when everything is totally grown, you know, like late in the season when everything's, you know, all grown and you have to like fight your way in there. I don't really want to fight my way in there. So I've asked Jim to plant things a little further apart this year. So we'll see how that goes. I do know that that means I'm going to have to tend to the rows in between, which will get pretty weedy if we make them too wide. So there is that. We're also going to be transplanting things from the greenhouse to the garden as soon as the garden is ready and the soil temp is correct and, you know, all those good things. Now, for a conversation here, a quick conversation about chickens and eggs. Maybe you have heard in the headline news that egg prices are not only at historic highs, but they're about to go up again. So there has been an outbreak of the bird flu in Texas among one group of hens, you know, that's not good, right? Who are egg layers. And so this is crazy, but 1.6 million laying hens have been quote unquote depopulated. Yes. You can translate that for younger ears, what it means to depopulate 1.6 million laying hens by one of the largest egg producers in America. So if you've already been noticing that the cost of eggs is high, it's about to go up again. It's about to get worse, which has led us to a robust conversation in our house about the prospect of Matthew actually thinking through and making a plan to sell his eggs, to sell some of his eggs. So he has 10 hens. They very fair, actually, he has 12 hens. I'm so sorry. If he's listening right now, I've just offended his sensibilities. Matthew has 12 hens, but we get 10 eggs a day because apparently four of our hens are on an every other day rotation. I don't know. Anyway, we get 10 eggs every day. From these 12 hens, and we don't eat 12 eggs a day. There's only three of us in the house now, so it's a lot of eggs. So we spend a lot of time giving eggs away, which is wonderful, but I have suggested to Matthew that upon graduation from high school, he could actually have a little egg business, and so he's now giving some thought to that, and so for those of you in the egg business, you can be praying for Matthew and how he might be putting that little business plan together. It is time to clean the gutters and wash the house. You could have a whole sermon. Actually, you could probably do a whole Bible study series on what gutters teach us about the need to clean out the debris from time to time. God wants the water to be flowing freely, right? He wants there to be no impediment, no barrier to the free flow of the Spirit. But sometimes that means we got to actually take the time to get up there on the roof and clean out the gutters. So we have arrived at that stage in our family. The gutters definitely need to be cleaned out. And for those of you who don't live in parts of the country or parts of the world where your house actually gets like mold on the outside, I actually don't know why this happens. I think I just live in an environment that's, you know, rural enough and damp enough that from time to time, you know, you get a little green on the outside of what should be a white farmhouse. And so our house needs to be washed, which sounds like a crazy thing to do, but yeah, it's time and that needs to happen. If you've been listening for any length of time to Mornings with Carmen, then you already know I am a new fan and new user of something called Bless Every Home. It's an app. And so you go to blesseveryhome.com and you put in your address and you sign up, and it's free. And every day they send you five names of five of your neighbors and their addresses, and you can pray for them by name. So I have now been praying by name for my neighbors since I signed up for the Bless app a week ago now. So I've been praying by name for five neighbors every day. It's already changing the way I see and feel about my street. And so I commend that to you. And then in the spirit of there's never a dull moment, the blades on the lawnmower are dull. I have mowed twice, and it's been really rainy this week. So clearly next week I'm going to need to mow again. And so sharpening the blades is on the list, which always reminds me that iron sharpens iron. I mean, you know, if you've ever wondered, is there a Bible verse for pretty much everything? Yes. And sometimes are we taking them out of context when we apply them in this way? Yes. But nonetheless, my iron sharpens iron encouragement for you today comes from Proverbs 27, verse 17. And so if you are the person charged with sharpening the knives in the kitchen, sharpening the blades on the lawnmower, sharpening the teeth on the chainsaw, like, you know, you could just adopt this verse, okay? Proverbs 27, 17. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. If you're not the person who has to sharpen the knives or sharpen the blades on the tractor or sharpen the teeth on the chainsaw, then you don't know how gritty this verse is. I want you to think about a grinder. This is more than sandpaper. This is taking iron to sharpen iron. And so thank you to those of you who are mature enough in the faith, so mature in the faith, that you have allowed the rest of us to rub up against you over the course of time, that we too might be sharpened. If you are a mature believer, now is the stage of life and your opportunity to be the person against whom a younger, less mature believer is allowed to rub up. Let them rub up against your life, that God might sharpen them for his use, that he might strengthen them for what's coming next. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Thank you for the ways that you have allowed me to rub up against your life. I am trusting that we are both being edified and sharpened by the time we spend together. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen. I'm Carmen LaBurge. We've got an ongoing conversation up next. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen.
Back when I was in college, I invited a friend to church. Now, she had literally never been in a church before. So I tried to think of all the things that it would help to explain. We got there early and I showed her around. We got a bulletin. I told her what to expect. But when the offering basket actually came by, she held on to it, looked down, and asked out loud, "What is this?" Now, I want you to imagine trying to explain that during worship while the soloist is singing. Now, what makes this story really funny is that she held the basket. I mean, she was asking an honest question and I was honestly trying to answer, but she's holding the basket and the ushers are getting antsy. And because I had passed the basket to her, I couldn't easily, like, take it back. So there we sat. I'm attempting to explain the collection of tithes and offerings. My friend is holding the basket. The person on the other side of her is, like, wide-eyed, boring a hole into me. It's funny now, but I literally, like, feel the sweat that was rolling down my back in that moment. Explaining why we support a ministry can be challenging. This is listener-supported radio and listener-supported digital media. You're listening to it via podcast, so that's made possible by the financial support of listeners just like you. During our spring fundraiser, we passed the plate. In short, we need your help. If you've never given before, maybe you could consider $1 a day. It's not actually about the size of the gift. It's about everyone doing their part to make the whole thing possible. So help us continue to share the faith by sharing in faith now. You can give right now by clicking the link in the show notes, by going to myfaithradio.com or texting the word GIVE to 877-933-2484. And thanks in advance.
All right, tis the season. Tis the season. I don't know if you have noticed it, but tis the season for high school, college graduations. Tis the season. Lots of people schedule their weddings in June, May, June, July, August. And I don't know if it's seasonal or not. I have no idea. But I know a lot of people who are pregnant right now. And so this might be a stage of life thing for me. Also might just be a stage of life thing for folks around me. But there's going to be a bumper crop of babies. And I just want to celebrate that. I want to set that out there for you in the midst of the conversations of the day. There are babies on the way, and those are everyday miracles. And so I want you to be thinking, if you've been looking for a sign, that's one of the things people are going to be doing on Monday, by the way. As they look up to the heavens, they're going to be, you know, like looking for a sign. Like, okay, there are everyday miracles, and babies are one of those. And so just an encourage you on that front as well. As you are thinking about how to encourage your neighbors, how to love your neighbor, remember there's lots of resources out there on this front, and want to encourage you to be praying by name for your neighbors and learning what their needs are, and then leaning in and seeing how you might care for them in some tangible way. Those are the places and spaces in which then the gospel finds its opportunity to be shared. So we're not first looking for opportunities to share the gospel. We're first looking to know our neighbors and know their needs and lean in and serving them. And then God will cultivate those moments in which it becomes very, very natural for us to share how God wants to lean into what they're experiencing. So in some cases, you know, he wants to be their refuge and their strength. And another time, it's just that they need to know that God sees them or God cares for them. And yes, that there is this hope that is substantial and unmoving and certain and sure and eternal and present, and that his name is Jesus. Sometimes you're going to need to, you know, introduce Jesus as the great physician, other times as the teacher. Sometimes, yes, as the priest, sometimes as the servant or the host or the guest, sometimes as the vine dresser or the doorman, a fisherman, a shepherd, right? Jesus is all of those things. And so as you get to know your neighbors and their needs, and you serve them, they will begin to ask, like, why, not only why are you doing this, but why are you doing this with such joy, so freely? Those questions will come. I want you to think about the job you're doing today, whatever that is, and I want you to ask whether or not that work even existed in 1940. The work you're doing today, whatever it is, did that work exist in 1940? There's been a recent study by MIT. They actually study lots of things. I've been kind of impressed as I've surveyed some of the things that are being studied at MIT. They looked at all of the occupations that are listed in the U.S. Census over the course of time. And they have discovered through this long-term study of U.S. Census data that a majority of jobs in the United States are in occupations that did not exist in 1940. So if you just think for a moment about what you do and what your neighbor does or what your spouse does or what your children do or what your grandchildren do, did those jobs even exist in 1940? The work that each of us does, I mean, it matters. But what matters more is why we work and how we work and what spirit we work. And so when we talk about work, we're talking about something that predates the fall. God always intended that we would work. I mean, our work is to cultivate the culture. First a garden culture and then a culture outside the garden. But that's always been our job, to be the people who cultivate the culture where God has placed us as stewards of everything he owns. So you're not what you do. You are in all places and in all, under all circumstances, whatever the work is, you are an image bearer of God, who is advancing the gospel always and in all ways. So I, right now, am a talk show radio host. I say right now because this is not what I've always done. I've always been in ministry, but that ministry has taken lots of different forms. So I am now a talk show radio host. I am an author. I'm also a farm wife. My mom, over the course of her lifetime, she did lots of different jobs. She was a classroom teacher. She was a television show host. She was a county home economist. She was a motivational speaker. But if you were to ask me, what is your mom's like real superpower? What is she like uniquely gifted to do? It's color planning. And that's not even like actually a job, but that is my mom's gifting. My mom can see what a room or a house or a building is going to look like and how it should look because of the environment that it's in and how it's going to be used and who's going to be living or working there. It is truly remarkable. Like, that's her superpower. And her mom, if you go back another generation, because we got to get back all the way to 1940, right? Robina Ringwald Benefiel, my mom's mom, most of her work throughout her life was what we would call home work. She didn't work outside the home for pay until pretty late in my mom's young adult life, when my grandma started cooking for students in the international dorm at Ball State University. Prior to that, my grandmother cooked from scratch at home. She made ends meet. She sewed all the clothes. She painted rugs on floors. She pinched pennies. She canned vegetables and she crocheted. She was homesteading before it was a privilege to do so. And in 1940, both of my paternal grandfathers were farmers, but neither of them owned the land that they were farming. My paternal grandfather was a more permanent tenant farmer on some land in northern Indiana, but my maternal grandfather was what you and I would call a like legit itinerant tenant farmer. My mom's family basically moved every year of her life until she was in high school. Everyone works, everyone labors, and all of us labor as unto the Lord. What I do right now as a radio host is a job that actually existed in 1940. And it was in 1949 that this radio ministry began. Dr. Billy Graham saw the need for people who were staying at home and people who were working in the fields and guys driving trucks and people returning from war to have access to the gospel of Jesus all the time and everywhere. That's why we do what we do every day here at Faith Radio. And so, although many people are working today in ways and laboring in environments that didn't even exist in 1940, this work did. And I'm so thankful for that. So today, let me close with this from Colossians chapter 3. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. For you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, and it is Christ who you are serving. Whatever you're doing today, whatever labor there is before you, let it be a labor of love. And let it be a labor that advances the kingdom purposes of God always and in all ways. And thank you so much for your partnership in this gospel ministry. Here at Faith Radio, we couldn't do what we do without partners like you. So thank you. Thank you for being here with me during this hour, but thank you for being with us in this ministry to the glory of God, that other people might come to know that He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Easter people, go forth. Thanks for listening to Mornings with Carmen LaBurge. Podcasts like this are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes to give now. And thanks.